finish up a couple of thoughts there, and then we're going to dive in to this week's characteristic as we go through. We are, again, studying the characteristics of leaders and how important that is for us as Christians to have these characteristics, because ultimately what it's going to allow us is the opportunity to teach others about Christ. If we are leading those that we are around, we better make sure that we're leading them in the right direction. That's something we haven't talked about since the beginning of this class, and that is that, you know, leading can look like a lot of different things. You may be a great leader, yet you're leading someone in a direction they don't need to go. So as we think about this idea of leadership, we think about these characteristics we're going over, remember, these are focused on leading someone on the right path. And just because we're leading, we better be very, very sure that we are leading people in the right direction. So as we look back to last week, and we talked about the characteristic of being a guide or having a vision, and that ultimately meaning that your characteristic is discipline, able to properly manage distractions. One of the things we wanted to look at that we didn't get to, which is probably one of the most important things, we talked about what those distractions look like, we talked about where they can come from, we talked about what we should be focused on, but how about some tools to deal with distraction? How valuable could that be for us? Well, let's look at it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. What does it tell us there? Yes. It's a good characteristic, Sam. We'll look at that one later in the quarter. So, but I appreciate you pointing that out. So go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So, what are some tools for us to face distraction in this world, to properly manage those distractions, to be disciplined? Well, it's about putting on the armor of God. All right? It's about making sure that we are standing against these distractions that the devil throws at us, properly prepared with the tools that God has given us from His Word. We have our loins girded about with truth, right? We know that in the end, if we rely on God's Word, we have the truth. Our breastplate of righteousness is the next tool He gives us in this armor of God. Righteousness. Righteousness is what we gain by being in the right relationship with God, isn't it? Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Always seeking peace. The shield of faith. Being able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked because of this shield of faith. Our faith in Christ, our faith in God, in knowing his plan, and knowing ultimately his plan means that we have victory in death, will allow us to face many distractions that the devil will throw at us. Now, that's one of the most difficult things for us as humans, is to look ahead and realize that this world is not it. You know, I think about my kids and wishing you could get them to see that it's not the end of the world right now if this happens. And then as they get into those older years and they have their heart broken or something happens, you know, that we've all faced, and it feels like at the time it's the end of the world. You know, as humans in general, we live in the present often. And we get so upset and so downtrodden by things that happen that ultimately, in the grand scheme of things, may not matter in this world, but definitely won't matter in the world to come, in the life to come. Being able to quench those fiery darts because of our faith. Take the helmet of salvation. That helmet of salvation. Salvation through Christ, through His blood. And then, of course, the sword of the Spirit, all culminating in having the gospel of Christ, the Word of God, that we can go to, that we can find every answer we may need whenever we're faced with those distractions. You know, tools are important for us to be able to focus and be disciplined leaders. As we look at this week and we move on to another characteristic, how many times have you ever heard someone say, you know, how do you stay so stagnant? What's your secret? You ever heard anybody say that? How do you obtain such mediocrity? I mean, what do you do? You should write a book. Have you ever heard anything like that? No. Never, right? No one's ever said, you know, how do you just maintain so well? Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Leaders are catalysts. Leaders are catalysts. Webster's definition of this word is an agent that provokes or speeds significant change or action. As we think about a leader, as we think about being spiritual leaders, as we think about being leaders in this world that can guide others, we need to be catalysts. We need to be an agent that provokes or speeds significant change or action. You know, for years, the term change agent has been used in the church to identify one who is attempting to lead the church in a direction it ought not go. Right? Coming into the body and trying to make those changes that are contrary to the Word of God. So as we think about the term change agent this morning, we're going to look at it a little bit differently. So being a change agent as a spiritual leader happens outside the church. As we go into the world, we are to be a catalyst, an agent for change. Right? Now, could it be possible that inside the church we have to be a catalyst as well? We have to be a change agent? Any thoughts? Yeah. Oh, there you are. Yes, all right. You got to elaborate a lot more than that, man. Yeah, just because we're within these four walls doesn't mean we've got it all figured out, right? And if there is something that needs to change to align with God's will, even within these four walls, we need to be, as a leader, we need to be a catalyst for that change, right? Sure. So looking at change agent, we're going to focus primarily outside as we talk about it this morning. So Romans chapter 12, verse 2, as we look at this, and this is kind of going to be our foundation this morning. In thinking about this definition and thinking about spiritual leaders as catalysts, be not conformed to this world. When you think of leaders, just in general, you know, we talked about that very first week. I said, you know, say some things that come to mind when you think about a leader. When you think about leaders, do you envision one that just merges in with the pack, and everybody's heading this way, and they're right there, lockstep, as everyone's going? Is that the vision you get when you think about a leader? No, of course not. So just by thought definition, as we think of the term itself, it's this idea of someone who is a catalyst, someone who is an agent for action, significant action or change or provoking others. It's that idea of wanting to move things in a certain direction. Be not conformed to this world. Leaders don't follow the pack. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we read, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Leaders that are catalysts in the church understand that they are to be different. And the change and the action that they are seeking to help others achieve as a leader is going to be different. In the language here, it's going to be peculiar. What do we understand of this word here, peculiar? Strange. What else? It doesn't look like anything else, does it? Not the norm. Love that. So as you look out into the world, and you think about those who are lost, even those who are occupying some type of pew this very morning, and if we as Christians aren't living a life that is obviously different, peculiar, out of the norm, then something's wrong. And if we as spiritual leaders are not leading people in a way that's different, out of the norm, something's wrong. And you cannot be a catalyst leader if you are trying to go along with what everybody else is doing. If we talked about this idea a little bit, I think it was 2 weeks ago, as we were looking at the idea of being satisfied. You know, someone who is a catalyst is always seeking to move forward. Someone who's a catalyst wants to make that change happen and provoke that action. Definition says speeds up significant change. And when we're seeking to lead people spiritually, we want it to be significant. Right? We don't want you to just change a little bit. We don't want you to just come out of the world, you know, just with the right foot. If we want to be a catalyst as a leader spiritually, we want to lead someone to a level of peculiarity, a level of being out of the norm. And that doesn't look a little bit like this. It doesn't look like we've done a couple things here. You're not out of the norm if you're still doing 50% of what you did before, or 30% or 20% or 10%. We need to make sure that we're leading people to an understanding that if you are going to follow the will of God, it doesn't look a little bit like the world and a little more like God. We're wanting to lead them in a way that it doesn't look like the world at all. We want to be a catalyst. It's provoking significant change and action. Yes, sir. Right.
In that light, Romans 12:2, as you have already alluded to, Colossians chapter 2, I think verses 1 through 11 help me to understand that. It says that we are dead to the basic principles of the world. And some of the principles hate those who hate you. And then you go back to Jesus' teaching on the mountain, Matthew 5 through 7, especially in Matthew 5, he says, those who hate you, love them, pray for them, those who despitefully use you.
Right.
So you see, we have changed our mind. We're not conforming to the basic principles, you know, of the world. But right. Jesus has taught us how not to do that, how not to conform to the basic principles of the world.
That's right. So, looking at this idea of being a catalyst as a leader, knowing that it means we cannot be conformed to the world, what does he go on to say? And I love, you know, when we open God's Word and we're looking for answers, when we search the Scripture and we're trying to, the best of our ability, figure out how we can please God and serve Him and live our lives in a way that's pleasing to Him and acceptable. I love how we can go to God's Word, and not only does He say, don't do this, but what does He follow it with? Here's what you do. Love that. Be not conformed to this world, but what?
Be transformed.
Right? And you think it's kind of common sense, Clint, right? Makes sense. Well, is it? Holy Spirit here gives us what not to do, but then immediately what to do. But be transformed, changed, different. All these things we've been talking about. How? By the renewing of your mind. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. What does a renewed mind look like? Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. A renewed mind looks like what? Looks like the mind of Christ. What did the mind of Christ look like? Looked like a...
What?
Humble. A servant. Obedient. So we have here the example. Go ahead. That's right. Doesn't that seem very contrary to those who might wear the title of leader? You know, we can look around us in all walks of life, from business to politics to you name it. And we can see those who might be identified as leaders. And unfortunately, this list here is not what we see. But how powerful is this? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. What does a renewed mind look like? It looks like Christ. What does Christ's mind look like? It looks like one that is humble. Looks like one that's a servant. Looks like one that is obedient. Never seeking to put others down, but to lift others up. That sounds like a leader to me. As you think about this idea of having this renewed mind, a mind like Christ Jesus, the mind of a servant, look at Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Again, thinking about the mind of Christ and that being our model. The last end there of verse 13. Our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So here we look again at the mind of Christ, one that was sacrificial, looking to our needs, what was best for us, redeeming us from iniquity, purifying us. And what do we look like whenever we are purified by Christ? Peculiar. A peculiar people, zealous of good works. Yes. Right. It goes back to our characteristic of being elite. We will never gain all the knowledge that Scripture has to give us, will we? Yeah, when we even think that maybe we've gained quite a bit, it's not time to sit back on our laurels. It's time to say, okay, now I've gained this knowledge, now what do I do with it? How can I propel myself forward, bring others with me because of the knowledge that I've obtained? Oh, and by the way, I better be picking up some more knowledge too. So it's a continual seeking of the knowledge, but then a continual trying to apply that knowledge. Right? Yes, it's not something stagnant by any means. And that thought a couple of weeks ago about the idea of being a lead and always wanting to move forward and find that next peak really, really plays in well with this idea of being a catalyst as a leader. having the mind of Christ, being changed, being different, being peculiar. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. This goes back to this idea we were talking about a minute ago, that we want significant change. We don't want to look still a little bit like the world, just so we can fit in this group or that group, right? What does it say whenever we obey the gospel of Christ? Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, Dustin's talked about this in lessons, and one of the things he likes to say in sharing this idea is that when you come out of the waters of baptism, you don't have, I'm not going to come out with hair. We're not going to come out and I'm 6'1". We're not going to come out and all of a sudden the bills that were tight this month are all paid and done. The job that I lost, we're not going to come out of the water in that way and immediately be changed. But how are we changed? How are we a new creature? Spiritually? It was, Mike, what were we saying? Change your heart, your faith. The attitudes of your mind. Yeah. So it's that inward change, right? It's that inward change. Spiritually, we are a new creature, washed clean of the sins that we had before. That sounds like significant change to me. You go from being lost to saved? Significant change. So as we go out into the world and we want to be a leader that's a catalyst seeking to, what? Provoke or speed up significant change or action. We're wanting people to be saved, aren't we? Here's why I bring that up specifically. Are there those in the religious world that are out seeking to change people? Yes, there are. They're wanting to make them happy. They're wanting to make them happy. Is that change? It is to some extent. To some extent it is. If someone's not happy before and you tell them something that makes them happy, that's change, right? But is it significant change? The kind of significant change that we have example of, that you obtain through the proper relationship with Christ Jesus? No, it's not. If all you're doing is going out and seeking to make people happy, well, I don't know about you, but I don't always sustain happiness. Why? Because stuff happens, doesn't it? Stuff happens. Oh, we had something happen this week in our family that I wasn't happy about. Couldn't sustain happiness through that. Now, because we know God's in control as Christians, and we can find peace and comfort that His will be done, and it's all going to be okay. Gets back to this idea we were talking about at the beginning of class. It's all going to be okay in the end. Can we start to have some peace? Can we gain peace and comfort? Sure. But if all we're seeking to do is just be happy, it's not sustainable. And how are they getting people to be happy? Tell them what they want to hear. Isn't that the best way to make somebody happy? Isn't that the quickest way to make somebody happy? Just tell them what they want to hear. But is that being a catalyst, an agent for significant change or action? No. That's just me telling you what you want to hear. Putting a smile on your face. Making you feel better about your situation. Not being a catalyst for change. We are to be a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. And that's when that mind of Christ is in us. When we are in Christ. Let's go back to our text, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. What does it say? You transform by the renewing of your mind, that what? You may prove what? The will of God. Right? You know what it says at the end of the verse? And that you may prove the will of God. Then it has some descriptions here of the will of God. Good, acceptable, and perfect. So as catalysts, we transform our mind. We spread the gospel to transform the minds of others. Having that renewed mind like Christ. By doing that, we prove the will of God. Who are we proving it to? Everyone. As Mark 16:15 said, where are we to go?
Everywhere.
All the world, everywhere. Where does that lead? Nothing. No one. So as leaders who are catalysts, seeking to go where? Everywhere. Seeking to do what? Be an agent for significant change. It doesn't look like telling somebody something that will make them happy. Ultimately, we want them to feel the joy of being in Christ Jesus, right? Our ultimate goal is for their joy and peace and comfort, but it's not just to make them happy right now. Many times, we have to share with them things that will not make them happy. It's pleasing to God. It's our responsibility. You know, as leaders, talk about not being part of the pack, not going along with the world in those ideas that if we stay here, nobody's gonna be mad at us. If we stay here, then everybody's happy. That's contrary to what the gospel teaches. Yes, Sam?
I think part of the key thing here is self. You know, deal with self first.
Sure.
And de-emphasize self, you know, deny self. And then, you know, you have that freedom to bring change. We have the freedom to achieve the will of God, like how the Lord says in Luke 9:23, you have to deny yourself, take self out of the way. And that's a difficult, right. It's a difficult thing.
It is a difficult thing, but it becomes less difficult when we first do what?
When we
transform our mind.
Right.
Right? When we can transform our minds, have the mind of Christ in us, it's a whole lot easier to pull ourselves back. Put someone else up, right?
Because focus is not on self. It's on
because focus at that point is not on self, because we know we are doing what we ought to do.
And when we do that, then we'll be able to take up our cross daily.
That's right.
Follow Christ.
right.
That cross means suffering and even death.
That's right. And we're able to be a peculiar people.
Right.
And we're able to lead others. Right? All right. I believe our time is up. So thank you all for your comments this morning.
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.